Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Good morning.
Good morning. We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
That's right. It's time to pour that coffee and curl up on the couch with Lou to get your tips for fixing up the house this weekend. Right here on the Mr. Fix-It Show.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. 7:11 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show, till 10 o'clock. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com, Ace Hardware, and by WetAndForget.com. How's everybody doing this morning? Domati, good morning. Sam, good morning.
Hello.
Good morning to you.
Hey, DP, I heard a lot of Domati Pongo this week. You were filling in doing traffic, and they're working you like a dog. What's going on over there? They are.
I love it. I feel like it was my way to meet everybody, too. I got to meet Ro and Justin and hang out with everybody.
Right, right. And then you're like, wait a minute, I just want to go back to Saturdays.
Yeah, exactly. Let me just get my normal shift.
No, you sounded good. You sounded good. I had a chance. I was in town in and out this week and got a chance to hear you. Sounded great.
Man, thank you, Lou. Did you get a chance to catch News or Ruse with Ro on
Thursday?
Know,
I heard it. I heard you were going to be on it, and I missed it. So hopefully
I won.
Had fun with that.
I won. That was a big deal for me. That's why I had to announce that.
You know, just the thing is, you know, normally Judy wins those things, so you want to be careful. She's very territorial.
She is. I think she let me win. I think she let me. You. She missed an easy one. I think she let me.
And Sam, you were at the Blackhawks convention?
I was there. Thousands of fans laying around the Hilton, just waiting to get in for the Blackhawks convention. Just laying around.
Sam, maybe you don't know this, but do other teams do this around the country?
Not in the NHL, believe it or not. There are not many. I was looking this up yesterday. I couldn't find another team in the NHL that has a convention like this.
If we're from Chicago, you know what I love about the Blackhawks is, unlike, you know, North Side, South Side, everybody can rally around the Blackhawks because, you know, they're our only hockey team. Same with the Bears, you know, someday. Why other teams don't jump on this? What other hockey team can make this kind of money at the end of July?
It's insane. And in fact, I was talking to Jay Blunk in the Blackhawks front office, and he said that the idea came to fruition in John McDonough's kitchen back in 1986. They were trying to figure out how to keep the Cubs. This is back when they were with the Cubs.
Right, right.
And they were trying to figure out how to keep the buzz going in the offseason. And John and Jay were sitting there in McDonough's kitchen thinking about, maybe we should bring the whole team and the players and just have some hotel convention. And they said, no, it will never work. People won't be for it in the off season. And look where they are. The Cubs convention is still extremely popular, right. And now they've brought it to the Blackhawks.
And so that was their kind of – and I know a lot of baseball teams do the conventions, right? That's more popular.
Right, Sox Fest. I mean, most teams have them now in baseball.
Right, and that came – and these two guys invented it.
Yeah, 1986, McDonough and Blunk.
Wow, that's so cool. That is so cool. That's so cool. All right, well, we got lots coming up today. Real quick, I have a quick movie review for all of you to listen to. Lindsay, I know you and I chatted, but last night I went to go see that movie Dunkirk. Have you guys heard about this movie? This World War II movie?
I have, yes.
Okay. So first of all, I'm going to tell you this, totally separate. We leave the movie, and my wife and Mallory, who were both there, said, wow, there's a lot of really cute guys in that movie. And one of the cute guys, we kept saying, who's this guy? Who's this guy? He is the actor that played Tommy Morrison in your dad's movie, Tommy's Honor.
You are right. Jack Loudon.
Yeah. He's a handsome fella.
Cute. He is.
And he plays one of the fighter pilots. This is, if you don't know this story of Dunkirk, is this amazing military evacuation that occurred during World War II in France. And I will tell you this, you need to read a little bit about Dunkirk before you go to see this movie to really appreciate it. And it really is something else. You got to go see it.
Huh. Well, there was a lot of controversy in it too. Did you hear? I mean, about like
no.
women. There weren't enough women roles and minority roles. I don't know.
What? Really?
Yeah.
I mean, there were some women in.
But I know, but it's like a fighter 1940s movie. I can't imagine there's a lot of women roles.
I don't know the history behind it, but the actual story behind that is, I mean, I think part of it is too, you can't, you know, it's not like Hamilton where you're going to make this political statement. If you're going to do a World War II movie, you know, I think it has to be somewhat credible for the times and what it was. I mean, women were not on the front lines in World War II. There were nurses and stuff that they showed at some point, but it's a good movie. I definitely, I mean, I love World War II history, and I read a little bit about this whole, I knew a little bit about Dunkirk just because of being a fan.
Right.
I love World War II history, but I really liked it. I had a couple of issues if you don't, that's why I think you have to read about Dunkirk before you go to help you understand what happened, because not everything gets covered, but it's really good. And of course, what's amazing is our daughter Carmen, who's 21, can't wait to go see this movie. Why?
Because all the cute boys.
Right. Harry Styles is
in it. Oh, he is?
he is.
Oh, he is a babe.
And how was he? I mean, he doesn't have a huge role, but he was good.
Huh.
And I have to say, he's a handsome fellow.
He really is. Great hair.
he's got great hair, even in this, so which is amazing with the Germans shooting at him, that his hair still looks fantastic. So 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lou Manfredini here with you. 7:17 in the morning. Let's go to the phones now, and let's talk to Mike, who's in Roselle. Mike, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. How are you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about cedar decking. I had some cedar decking I replaced about 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And since then, twice, I've used a semi-transparent stain. But between dogs and traffic, you know, parts of it just go away.
Right.
And when I try to restain it, I can't match it up. So I'm thinking about going maybe with a more opaque type of covering. And so my question is, what do you think about that? And also, how would I prep it then? Do I have to take all the old stain off or... Mm-hmm.
So you mean you're thinking about going with a more like a solid stain?
Exactly. Solid stain, or I don't know if there's other products out there that would be even better. But.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. This is my only thing, Mike. When you get into those solid surface or solid stains, rather, it's essentially like a paint, right? I'm going to put a film over the top of the wood. And if it gets a lot of sun and the heat and, gosh, we've had so much rain, you know, that the wood really absorbs a lot of that. You're going to get some peeling. And I think that once you go that route, you're going to be disappointed. I think that what I want you to do is go with a higher quality semi-transparent stain. And so one of the stains that I love is Penafin. Okay. It's a rosewood oil-based stain. Penofin. Penofin. Wait.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not spelling this right. P-E-P-E-N-O. Yeah. P-E-N-O-F-I-N. Okay. They also make this amazing deck/multipurpose cleaner called Pro-Tech Cleaner.
Okay.
This cleaner you mix with water. And you brush it on, and it has like a little chemical reaction to really clean the wood. They make a cleaner and a brightener. And you do that first, and then you apply this stain. Now, what's different about this stain is you brush it on, and you wait a little bit, and then you wipe it with a rag. Almost like you're refinishing a piece of furniture. But that rag forces all of the colorant into the wood as well, and you're going to get much higher performance out of this than you've had before. And here's the other thing. You said you got dogs and, you know, the traffic area. So in a couple of years, when you go do it again, or maybe 3 years, okay, if you get that kind of performance, it's going to last even longer once you do the second application of it, because then it kind of builds up this residue, this positive residue in the wood to last even longer.
that's a question too. When I've restained, it's like I've tried to clean the areas I've restained and put the same stain down, but I never get the color match. You can sort of see where it's done.
You got to do the whole thing.
Okay.
And the cleaning part of it is really important. And if you can, a little light sanding to get that kind of that wood sheen that comes on wood over time to just open up the fibers of the wood so the stain can be accepted more evenly.
Now, do I have to remove all the existing stain? Part of the deck.
No.
Okay, good.
No, as long as you're going oil to oil. You used oil, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you used oil to oil, you're fine.
Okay.
All right.
And you're just saying if it was a water-based product, it wouldn't work properly then, right?
You're not going to get the kind of coverage if you're trying to go water over the top of that. And you can mix it, but I wouldn't at all. I would just go oil to oil, try this Penafin product, and I think you're going to be super happy. Appreciate the phone call. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lou Manfredini here with you. 7:21 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show, right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Listen to the rhythm of the fall.
What was that name?
Rain, telling me just what a fool I've been.
Say it again.
Yoan, my buddy. Yoan Moncada.
I love Sam giving you the thumbs up. It's awesome. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show. Let's go talk to Carol, who's in Crete. Hi, Carol. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. We have a real mystery.
All right.
One morning, about a week ago, upstairs on our second floor, opened up the toilet lid, and there was a toad in the toilet. How did it get there?
You don't have any grandkids, do you? Or what are you going there?
Well, nobody had been here for days. So we had carpeting put down like a week before, mm-hmm. but a toad can't live in a house for a week without us seeing it. And how would it get in the toilet?
Well, they can jump.
Yeah, but the toilet lid was down.
Well, it was then. Wow, that's a good one. I mean, I think that, are you near any swampy areas?
Well, we have a creek behind our house, and we are on a well, but
so you have a creek. You have a creek. So you have a creek behind your house, and there are toads there?
Oh,
but there
are
toads there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So probably at some point, this little toad was, you know, in your yard, and maybe when the carpeting was going in, they had the doors wide open, and this thing popped in, and...
lived in my house for 2 weeks on the second floor with no food or water?
I'm not a toad specialist.
Oh,
but
good.
Okay. I doubt that if you're on a well, you're on a well. How about a septic? Are you on a septic?
No.
No. Okay, so you have city sewer.
Yes.
Do you know if the city sewer in Crete, if the storm sewers and the city sewers are combined?
Well, it's not really city sewer. It's a local company that does it. It's a private company.
So like you go into a cistern or something like that? Is that what it does?
I guess.
Okay, so it is possible that if it's connected like that, that a toad could make it up through the sewer line.
Ugh.
And how they got all the way up to the second floor. It doesn't make sense that the toad would be able to climb up the sewer line to the second floor. It had to be in the house.
Okay. So I don't have to worry about it again.
No, what'd you do with the toad?
Well, I don't do toads, so I had the landscapers come and get it. And, you know, they hardly speak English. So
right, and so you're trying to explain to them, I need your help, I have a toad in my toilet.
Yes, I had to say toad, not a turd.
I wish I could be part of the conversation they had after they left your house. Because that had
you
to be
got funny. It. got it.
I'm sure it came in the house somewhere, and you're absolutely fine, Carol. Don't worry about it.
Thank you so much, Lou.
7:30 in the morning. We'll take a quick break, then go to news. Don't go away.
Hi, Mike Emmerich here from the NHL on NBC. When I come to Chicago, I expect to hear this horn. And every Saturday, I hear this one. Like you, I listen to Mr. Fix-It with Lou Manfredini, 7 to 10 every Saturday morning on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7:39 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It show with me, Lou Manfredini. Thanks, Doc. Hey, Sam, you still around there?
Yes.
Did you run into Eddie Olczyk?
I saw Edzo for a little bit. He was a little busy. He was the MC, but Edzo was around.
I was, I do WGN television on Friday mornings on the morning show early in the morning. As I was leaving Friday morning, here comes Eddie Olczyk walking in. He's in this sharp looking, he's a handsome man. He's in like a gray suit and a black thing, black shirt underneath there. And I walk out and I go, oh, you know, no, we're not letting anybody that grew up in Niles into the show today. Because didn't he grow up in Niles, right? Doesn't that sound about right?
I thought he was a Southside guy. He went to Brother Rice. I thought he grew up around, like, Oak Lawn.
Or maybe he lives in Niles. So there's some Niles connection with Eddie Olczyk. And he turns to me and he says, I'm going to say it right now, but Doc Emmerich sends his regards. Always nice to hear.
Edzo's the man. Only you and Edzo have the best hair, both of you.
I got to tell you, his looks pretty good. Mine's all gray. His still has nice color.
He's a Southsider, though, for sure. He may live in Niles now, not to give
Maybe
away where he lives.
That's what it is.
No,
yeah,
but he's
right.
A Southside guy through and through.
All right. There was some kind of connection. But anyway, nice to see him. And are you heading back out to the convention today?
Nope. Cubs Cardinals today.
Oh.
At Wrigley. If it doesn't get rained out.
Yeah. Yeah, this rain for everybody is just problematic. You know, but by the way, I'm going to shift gears a little bit. I was talking about this yesterday on television, and with this flooding, we'll get to your calls in just a second. I do not want you just to run to the bleach and start using that because it is not the right product to use on porous surfaces. For those of you that have feet of water in your basement, obviously there's no easy answer to any of this. Once the water recedes, you know, you really have to work with your insurance company to kind of assess what the damage is. Don't cut any corners. You got to get rid of everything. And when you go to clean all that muck and debris, you can use any cleaner initially to get that dirt and debris up. I don't care if it's Pine Sol or the Challenger or Simple Green, whatever. You're going to do all that. But then you've got to go to a couple products like the Concrobium line of products or even our friends at Healthful Home. They make a really good mold cleaner. I think that actually those Healthful Home guys who are local with all this flooding should probably think about putting some of that stuff in gallon jugs because I think people are going to need a lot more product. They have a spray bottle that's very effective. Both of those products have residual capabilities. So if you're going to use it on porous materials, whether it's the wood framing in a basement or whatever, all the drywall, all the insulation, that all has to come out, and then you've got to get some fans and airflow going there to really get all that humidity out of there, which is going to be tough because it's humid and it continues to rain. But you just have to make sure that you're doing this the right way. When you enter into those areas, please wear a mask, wear gloves, wear boots to protect yourself because there is going to be mold and mildew spores in the air, and you don't want to breathe that while you're working because you're going to get sick. And again, work with your insurance company. Do not jump on the bandwagon of the fly-by-night guys on a pickup truck that just want to take your money. And real disaster relief people, I talked about this with Steve Cochran on our first call on Friday, they're not going to take any money from you up front. Anybody that says, oh, give me $500, I'll come down there and do it. Do not hand anybody any money. Legit companies will come in, do the work, and then bill you. So just keep that in mind. I know that it's desperate times for many of you, but you want to do this the right way, and you don't want to be taken advantage of and then really have regrets down the line. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's go to the phone lines. Brian is on in Rockford. Brian, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Lou. How are you?
Good. How can I help you?
So we have coming up through the basement, like you were just talking about, some water that is coming in through the cracks in the floor as well as where the walls meet the floor. And the water I'm talking about, I'd say it's probably creeping in. It's not a flood.
Right.
But it was enough that we tore out all the carpet, and it's probably a half inch or so. And there's a couple of dry spots throughout the basement, but it's just seemingly coming from everywhere. And I'm hoping that you have some type of emergency recommendation that we can get to help stem the influx of water.
Mm-hmm. Do you have drain tile and a sump pump?
We do not. We're at the top of a small hill, and then the bottom of the hill, there's a creek. We do not have a sump or I don't think there's a drain tile either.
Right. So that water that you've based on your description of what's coming through, it's groundwater, right, from the flow that's coming through all this rain. And ultimately, what you probably want to do is get a drain tile installed and a sump pump, because then it'll help manage that water. In the interim, what you want to try and do is, from an emergency standpoint, is it raining out there in Rockford right now?
Currently not.
Okay.
Overnight it did.
Tell me about your downspouts. Where do they go? Do they go into the ground or do they spill onto the lawn?
They spill onto the lawn. There's some black tubes when we purchase the house that go down into the ground right there by the downspouts that we do not have it connected to. I just don't know where they go.
Right.
So we have downspouts that go out maybe 5 or 6 feet.
Okay. So that's a number one. Make sure that all the downspouts are pulled away at least 3 feet away from the house, but that 5 or 6 is even better. On the back of the house, when you're on that hill, when it rains like crazy, does the water run down that hill and bang up against the house?
No, I'm sorry. The house is we're at the top of the hill.
But you're at the top of the hill, so there's no water that runs down to you.
Correct.
Okay. That piping that you have on the side of the house, when it rains, do you notice any groundwater going into those pipes?
I don't. It's like the flexible gutter type pipe is what it looks
right.
like. The black.
But it's in the ground. But it's in the ground. You said.
Yeah, it's sticking out like straight up. Vertically, maybe a foot or foot and a half. It's sticking up as though it's intended to connect to the downspouts.
Right. Right.
But no, I don't know if any water is going into them.
Okay. I mean, the thing is that if that's a flexible line, typically something like that, my guess is it goes into your sewer line. But the fact that you're up on this top of this hill, the way you describe it, what you need to pay attention to is groundwater and how, when it really rains, if it pools near the side of the foundation wall. If it does, while it's raining, we need to try and literally take a shovel and move the dirt around a little bit to try and create berms to protect, to rechannel that water away from the house. This is, as we're talking about, an emergency situation. If you have these downspouts pulled away, that's great. Make sure that the gutters are clear, meaning that, there's not, when it pours rain, are the gutters overflowing over the side of the house where it's collecting on the side? That can drive more water into the ground and cause this water to build up. This is a problem. The ground is so saturated, there's no place for this water to go. And so channeling it away from the home is really important. The fact that you mentioned that it comes up from the ground and you're seeing it in the cracks, it is groundwater. It's not coming from the walls. And your ultimate solution is perimeter drain tile and a sump pump. That doesn't help you today, but, if you call somebody like a PermaSeal to come out at 800-421-SEAL, they can come out and give you an estimate and get this done and fixed once and for all. Appreciate the phone call. It's 7:47 in the morning. Our Noodaloo 2 is coming up after we take a quick break. We'll be right back. Time now for our new Toulouse 2, sponsored by ComEd. This is if you're a painter, or not, I guess if you're a painter, but if you're painting, what's the hardest thing to do when you're painting?
I know.
Go ahead.
Choose the right color.
Right. Now, how do you choose the right color?
Well, I guessed, and it didn't pan out well.
Oh, yeah, you don't like the gray, right? It looks orange, right? It
looks red. Yes, it looks red against the floor.
Right. Well, our Noodaloo 2 could possibly help you with that. Take a listen.
G Choosing paint colors for a home is like the first day of school. It's so exciting when the teacher hands you that big box of crayons with so many colors to choose from. You kind of feel the same excitement when you're about to pick a new paint color for your family room, bedroom, kitchen, dining room. Without the right color swatch, though, excitement can easily turn to anxiety, knowing that past projects sometimes result in disappointment. With a paint color sample that turns out to be not even close to what you were picturing. This week's new to Lou 2, Sure Swatch, brings back the fun to picking paint colors and provides color accuracy, even with those sometimes troublesome bright, vibrant colors. All you do is paint the Sure Swatch, which is about 9 by 12 inches, and apply the painted color swatch to the wall with the adhesive backing that won't damage your wall. It'll provide a temporary trial patch of the real color on a flexible, clear material. There's going to be no surprises because the clear film shows exactly how the new color will appear when applied on top of your existing wall color. Painting a test patch on, say, a white piece of cardboard just isn't going to cut it. Sure Swatch is available at Ace Hardwares, Amazon, and other hardware retailers. A 3-pack goes for about $3 and a 15-pack for about $14, so definitely affordable. You can find out more or buy online at SureSwatch.com. I will put all this information up on Lou's Facebook page, so check them out. That's this week's New to Lou 2.
I like this product, and it's a great idea, and it's affordable. That's the thing that I think is great. People get so nervous. What if I decide, you know, the painting on a wall is the best way you're going to do colors, right? But then people get nervous about that because then what if I don't want to do anything with it or I want to wait? Then you've got all these samples painted on the wall. When you use the Sure Swatch, I can't, there, I said it again.
Say that three times fast.
Yeah, right. Sure, in your Noodaloo too. Sure Swatch.
I had to record it probably five times. Sure Swatch. Sure. Good thing right. You didn't hear the unedited version.
Right, exactly. Like the after dark. It out. Right, the after dark Noodaloo too. But this way, when you paint it on the film and you want to move it around from room, oh, maybe I don't like this color in this room, you can just peel it off and put it in the bedroom or do it, you know, wherever you want to try it out in the living room, the family room, wherever it may be. And, you know, $3 to $14, depending on the number of samples you buy, is pretty good. You can find it on their website. Local hardware stores have it. Some of the home centers have it. And, you know, it's part of the investment of painting. You're going to save money. If you're in particular, well, whether you're doing it yourself or not, you're in charge of picking the color, right? And so you want to make sure you're getting it right. And the trick with this, no matter what you do as far as choosing the color, is you want to live with it in different lights in your home. So you want to put it on, have it stay there for 24 hours or so, and look at it in the evening and the night. And when you pick those colors for your place, Lindsay, did you even try them out in the house?
No.
Nope.
I know. You know right. What I did? This was.
It's like you
I'm
don't even. Is this on? Is this on when I talk to people?
I went over to a friend's house and I was like, oh, I love your colors. What are they? Tell me what they are and then I won't have to worry about it because that to me is so stressful. I'm just going to use what I love hers. Well, it's totally different in your own home because the flooring is different. Like our floors are kind of red. So when I put this light gray up, of course, we painted the entire room, it looks pink to me.
You would say your floors are red?
No, they're not red, but they have a redder tone than my friend's floors, who were like a deep espresso color. Mine are kind of like a, I don't know, it's just got a little red in them.
You know, when I was a home builder, and we used to, one of the kind of the niches that we had is we would go in and build houses, renovate houses, complete gut rehab jobs, and we would finish the whole thing. And the kitchen would be done, because I learned early on with the buyers of our homes who were people your age, right, in their early 30s.
Thank you. I mean, I am.
Really?
Keep going.
They didn't want to make all these decisions. And so we kind of came up, my wife and I came up with this idea that, look, let's just finish the whole thing. They'll come in and they'll pick the paint colors, the carpeting, and we'll finish out their closets. That was the thing that they had to do, okay? Meaning that however you wanted the closet designed, whatever. And I would, one of the rooms, the dining room and the living room, I would paint one color just to kind of show, and it was kind of back then in the early parts of 2000, the hot color was sort of like coffee with cream, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you against the wood floor and the white trim, it really, everything really popped, right?
Mm-hmm.
No one ever changed that color.
Really?
They go, I love that color. Let's use it everywhere. And then they would pick the car, and they would be overwhelmed by just picking carpeting and colors. Right?
I know. It's stressful.
Right. And if you, and you know, you did your kitchen, right? And it's like my countertop and this and that and all that kind of stuff. And so it's hard for people to do. Our Noodaloo 2 can certainly help you.
I mean,
do
it's kind of like doing your nails, women out there. You know, like when you look at the, when you walk into the nail salon and there's all these different colors of pinks, it's kind of like, what's the difference really? But there is a difference. Just like
you know, I only
colors.
Like using OPI.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the only man that knows that. I'm the only 53-year-old man that probably knows OPI. All right. What time is it? It's 7:59 in the morning. Quick break and we'll go to news.
And from Chicago's very own 720 WGN, let's return to the Mr. Fix-It Show, starring our very own Lou Manfredini.
Hopefully she was awake to hear her promo. Thanks, Marianne. I don't know that I'm into the starring thing. That's, you know, it's not me. But thank you. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Mr. Fix-It Show with me, Lou Manfredini, 8:10 in the morning. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show, sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems, Fox Home Center, and by our friends at ExecutiveGreenCarpetCleaning.com, who just got done doing another carpet cleaning job for me. And again, amazing. I don't know what kind of special juice they're using, but the carpets look fantastic, and these guys really do a nice job. And when you talk to them, they're just really nice people on the phone. ExecutiveGreenCarpetCleaning.com. Hey, Sam.
Yes, Lou?
I know how to fix Carl Edwards Jr.
Put some weight on him?
Yeah. Somebody needs to get the kid a sandwich.
You know what his nickname was in the minors? String bean. I'm not making this up.
My left leg weighs more than that entire kid.
They say he weighs 170. If he weighs 170,
he
I weigh 180.
He is not 170. He is, how tall of a kid is he, do you know?
6'3".
Yeah, so he's tall. I bet he's 165 dripping wet.
Very, very tiny. Very diminutive.
I mean, and poor guy. I mean, I don't know that he's in the right role.
Well, they think he's the closer of the future. And that was actually his first real bad game this year. He's 3-1.
Wait a minute. They think he's the closer?
Yeah, they like him long term. Well, Wade Davis won't be here forever.
No, right.
Especially given the fact that he's a free agent at the end of the season. I don't know if they bring him back or not, but they're grooming Carl Edwards Jr. to be the closer.
Oh, my gosh. You know.
You don't like that.
No, well, I don't know. It's just funny to me. That inning, what was it, the eighth inning, right? They're up 3-2.
The Cardinals sent 11 guys to the plate before the Cubs recorded an out.
Oh, my gosh. And
it was ugly.
My wife is a gamer, right? She loves the Cubs. And she had the game on in the background. She's like, she's doing the call. Don't load the bases. Oh, my gosh. This is all I hear, like, as I'm walking around. And then I hear this big scream, like, oh, my gosh, two runs. And, you know, it's just like everything that you don't want to go wrong in that eighth inning went wrong.
Two became three. Three became five. Eventually, they had nine in the inning. It was 3-2 Cubs after seven. After the eighth, it was 11-3 Cardinals.
Right. Yikes. I like kid. My son texting me now. Edwards had an excellent year. Don't turn on him. I'm not turning on him. What did I say, Sam? How do we fix him?
Put some weight on.
Get a sandwich in the kid. That's all he needs. He needs a sandwich. He should get like somebody should. You know how the Big Hurt and Anthony Rizzo are doing the Bona Beef commercials.
Mm-hmm.
They should get him to do the Bona Beef commercials.
We need to take Carl Edwards
and
Jr.
and pay him in Bona Beef.
No, we take him to Bartolini's and make him eat the 10-pound sandwich.
My, come on. The Bartolini's? Are you kidding me?
That's where
Those
we
meatballs?
Take him. That's
Absolutely.
Where we take him.
That's it. I'm here with Carl Edwards Jr. at Bartolini's, and we're having a 10-pound sandwich. Keep eating.
Mangia.
All right, so now that hopefully someone at the Cubs was listening. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show. Let's go to Orland Hills. Is it Kamelsch? Is that right? Kamelsch in Orland Hills? Kamelsch, how are you? Kamelsch.
Orland Hills. All right. We have a question about a patio door that does not close very well.
I'm sorry, say that one more time. Someone was talking in my ear.
It's a patio door that does not close very well. It's a wooden patio door. When we try to close it,
is it,
it comes
that
up
when,
to,
go ahead.
it slides, it rubs very hard, and when it gets too close to about 6 inches, we have to lift it from the handle to shut it.
Okay. What have you done so far to it? Anything or no?
No, we haven't done anything. I had a gentleman who came yesterday who said that there is a piece of wood that's rotten underneath, and he has to replace the whole door.
Hmm. All right. How about this? Are you home right now?
Yes.
Are you looking at the door?
Yes.
Okay. On the bottom of the door, on the bottom horizontal rail going across the bottom of the door, do you see two little round caps?
Hang on, I have to go close to the radio car. Mm-hmm. There's a vinyl track.
Yeah. But do you see on the horizontal, on the actual door itself, on the bottom rail, is there two little round caps, one maybe six inches away from one vertical side and the other one on the other side?
No, there is no cap of any kind.
No hole or anything on the inside rail of the door?
Correct.
All right. How about on the outside? My point is, at the bottom of that door, Kamesh, there's a way to adjust those rollers. And you use a screwdriver to adjust it, and it clicks up. And by raising the wheel on the roller, you're going to be able to adjust that door so that it rolls more easily. You can't see any kind of adjustment on that door.
No, it's a seal from both the sides, so there is a wheels underneath here, and it sits on a track.
I understand.
And when we come towards the end, it sinks down by about 2 inches.
Right.
So we have to lift that door by that much. Now, the gentleman who came yesterday, he said that there is a water that has leaked and the piece of wood that has rotted underneath there.
Right. But when you look at the door right now, as you're looking at it, do you see any rotted wood whatsoever?
Not outside, no.
Okay, and on the inside as well?
On the inside, when we went in the basement, and he pulled out a little insulation, and there was moisture in the insulation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Well, it could be that the bottom of the track all needs to be replaced, and I mean, based on how you're describing it, but I think that there is a way to adjust the door to help at least for now get it to work. There's either caps on the inside or on the outside, or when you open the door, on the rail that closes into the actual frame of the door itself, there might be an adjustment screw there. And when it should be when you tighten the screw that you're able to lift it up as well. And that way it should roll a little more easily. The replacement still may be able to happen, or it may have to happen, rather, but this might at least buy you some time. I appreciate the phone call. Let's go to Kankakee now and speak with Joyce. Hi, Joyce. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How can I help you?
Well, I've got a wrought iron patio set that's several years old. It started peeling a year after I purchased it, and now most of the black finish has peeled off, and it's starting to rust. So I want to refinish it. What's the best way to go about that?
Are you going to do it?
Yes.
All right. Not easy. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to buy a gallon of a product called Citrus Strip.
Okay.
It's a paint stripper. It's orange, mm-hmm. and it's citrus based. And you're going to put this on a drop cloth somewhere. And you're going to put some of this in a little bucket, and you're going to brush this on, and you're going to try and get it on all the surfaces where the paint is, you know, even the backside. So you want to wear gloves and everything. Then you're going to let it sit there for 20 minutes, and then you're going to go at it with a wire brush. And all the rest of the paint's all going to come off, okay?
Okay.
Then once that all comes off, you're going to use a damp rag. Well, then hose all the stripper off with a hose and make sure you dilute it really well. You know, get everything off. Then lightly sand it. Okay. Then once it's dry, you're going to paint it with a really good metal paint. And you can either spray paint it or you can paint it with a brush.
Okay.
Rust-Oleum.
Go ahead. Because of all the grooves in it, you know, because it's got like a crisscross pattern on the top of it and everything, you know, it's all open work. There was some kind of an attachment you could get for your drill, that like a round brush that goes around, that you could go over it with that to help strip that off. Would that work?
You could absolutely do that. There is a there are these nylon cup stripping brushes that you can use on the end of a drill that you could try. If you did, if you want to avoid using the stripper altogether, you could use that as well. The whole idea with the stripper is that you'll get more of a consistent finish of metal, so that when you go to paint it, it'll look like it did when it was brand new. When you go with the nylon brush, you're going to, I mean, you know, it's not like, this is a piece of outdoor furniture, so it's not like it's a it's not like your dining room table. So if the paint is a little uneven, it's not the end of the world. But these nylon stripping brushes that you would put on the end of a cordless drill or a corded drill, you could go to town, scrub, 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 strip, 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 and then you just have to damp cloth it off and then go ahead and spray over the top of it. Then you avoid having to use the paint stripper altogether. The finish won't be as consistent, but again, it's an outdoor piece of furniture, not something you're going to have Thanksgiving dinner on.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to buy some time till I can afford to get some new furniture.
Then go to town with the nylon cup brush, and you'll be good to go.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Joyce. I appreciate you calling this morning. It is 8:21 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
It's Saturday morning. You know what that means. Time for Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Lord, it's the same old tune, fiddle and guitar. Where do we take it from here?
I love this song.
Ferguson and I are like line dancing in here.
8:24 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with the Mr. Fix-It Show. 312-981-7200 is our number. Ellie is in Skokie. Ellie, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. What's going on?
Well, we have leaks. It's not my body this time. That's what she told me. I could say that. Anyway, I met Mary's friend. Anyway, we have skylights. We have three skylights, two in the kitchen and one in the bathroom. My husband went on the roof. Don't say anything. And he put stuff. He doesn't remember the brand to cloth it around the roof to the, you know, the skylight.
Right.
And it worked in the bathroom the second time he did it, but it still hasn't worked in the kitchen. And we have like a new kitchen design called Bowls on the Floor with Rugs.
And, very nice.
Yeah. Oh, it looks beautiful. And we don't know what to do because the other one, skylight in the kitchen, is not dripping. But this one is, and it drips in, well, it only dripped in one place last night, but it does drip in three sometimes.
Right. Well, and I mean, I think with all this rain that we've had and this, you know, high concentration over and over and over again, anything that's going to leak is going to leak now because it just keeps going and going and going. What he wants to try up there is something called fibrated roof tar.
Fibrated roof tar, okay.
And you buy it in a gallon jug, and it's really sticky. And it's hard to work with because it doesn't really flow well. But you literally can use this stuff while it's raining. It'll work.
Oh.
So even though it's damp up there now, which I don't obviously recommend that anybody goes up on a roof when it's wet, but once it dries up and you can go up there, you're going to take this, kind of locate the areas where you think it might be leaking, and you're going to take a putty knife. Wear a pair of gloves because it's going to be a mess, and you wear a pair of shoes that you don't care about because you're going to get it on you. And then you take that putty knife and you go around the area and seal it all the way around. And you're going to be able to, you know, the thing is you want to take your time because if you put too much on, it gets super messy and it just doesn't look good even from the ground. And so, You want to make sure that you do a nice even job, let it stick there, and that should seal it out. Eventually, you may have to think about a new flashing kit for the whole skylight to make sure that it doesn't leak properly, but this will buy you some time. Ellie, I appreciate the phone call. Let's go to Rogers Park where John is hanging on. Hey, John, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. First of all, I'll settle the Eddie Olczyk question. I worked for a newspaper in Niles many years ago when Olczyk was a rookie, and I got a photo from his childhood hockey coach who was in Niles, so there you go.
Well, maybe that's where he – did he play his hockey there or something like that? I don't know what it was.
I believe he did. I believe something he played like childhood that. Hockey, peewee hockey, something like that in Niles.
Got it.
Right. I remember running a photograph. Anyway, there you go.
All right.
We have a strange situation between two houses, and a contractor, a cement contractor, said he's never seen anything like it in the city of Chicago. Two houses, we share a front porch, and there's a walkway that goes from the backyards. It's like a narrow double walkway. It goes from the backyards to three steps that go up, and then there's a like a shared front porch type of thing between the two houses, and then three steps that go down.
Okay.
Our neighbor decided to flatten theirs out and make it a walkway going all the way through with no steps, which left a drop-off on the side of our porch. And their cement contractor did a very nice job of, you know, shoring up our porch when they did that, because basically they had to eliminate, the concrete block that was between the porches. Well, now we have a drop-off that's about 26 inches from, there's a gap between the two sidewalks now with gravel in it. From that gap up to the top of our porch is around 26, 27 inches. Do we need a railing there? Is there a city code that says we need a railing?
Anything over 12 inches in height needs a rail.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, I was looking at, does it three risers, you need a rail, because it's also three step risers.
Right.
So
anything higher than 12 inches, I mean, just from a safety standpoint, I mean, my gosh, you know, 26 inches, you fall from there and you're not paying attention, you're going to break a leg.
Sure, and our neighbor has very graciously offered to pay for our railing. So
right. How does it look? I'm trying to picture this. How does it look now?
On their house, when they took it out, yeah, there's now some exposure near the foundation that they have to take care of. And,
right.
You know, that's why we decided not to do it, because they offered to flatten ours out too.
Right.
And I just wasn't sure. A house that was built in 1939, I didn't know what they were going to find, you know, once they did that.
Right.
Yeah, plus it would have wiped out one of our little boxwood trees and, you know, some landscaping that we did. They would have had to wipe all that out and build a walkway that went around. And we didn't want to do that. Our neighbor was going to save for all that. Yeah.
Well, that's so good. Yeah, you definitely, anything higher than 12 inches, you want you definitely want a rail. And, make sure that it fits the style and looks really nice or something really simple, and you should be okay. Thanks so much for the phone call. Bumping up against time here. 8:30, quick break, and then we go to news.
This is going to sound funny. I'm really glad I'm a man.
Why?
And I want you to take this in the right way, but it was really hot outside. I wish I could wear a dress. Because I bet it's really comfortable when it's hot.
So you think that like a little breeze would feel good?
Right. Wouldn't that be nice?
Well, Lou, go ahead. I mean, who's going to stop you?
You know, most people would be embarrassed by that. Like, when I said that, I'm like, oh, I should have never said that. I'm not.
I love that rejoin so much.
Now, I've never worn a dress, but it would be comfortable. Right?
I love how Lou knew he needed that disclaimer there.
I'm wearing one right now, and I'll tell you, it is.
Right?
I feel
You're
bad
comfortable?
For you. Like, my husband, when he gets to go to work on a hot day like this and he puts a suit on, I really do feel bad for him.
I know. You know, our son Quinn, who's working in banking, he has to wear a suit every day. And I look at, you know, every now and then he'll come and he'll spend the night at our house because of whatever. He's got a meeting somewhere early in the morning. Then he walks out, it's super hot, and he's in a suit. And I'm like, ooh.
Sorry for you guys.
They can come up with guys' dresses or kilts.
Right, we have children, though.
What?
We have children, though.
We
so
children.
You guys win.
Oh.
What if you had to wear dresses, but you'd have to also undergo childbirth? I don't think that's a good trade-off.
No. Yeah, right. You get the dress. You get to keep the dress. That's fine. That's good. I get it. All right. This is a great transition to our guest. You may have heard on the radio that we're running this contest at WGNradio.com/events where Architect is going to be giving away basically your very own outdoor oasis. And you could have a chance to win a 14-foot diameter circle patio with a wood-burning fire pit made of Belgrade pavers with an approximate retail value of about $7,250, which includes the installation. Joining me on the phone line right now is David Berryhill. He's the owner of Architect. David, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Not sure how to respond to the intro about dresses, but
listen, you're either in or you're out, David. You don't have to. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, the thing is, you know, if you're installing those pavers, it's probably a lot more of your installers and people want to see.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, before we get talking about this contest and what you guys are doing, tell me a little bit about your company, when you got started, and what it is you guys do.
Well, we are an outdoor living company focused on creating spaces for families. Decks, patios, screen porches, sunrooms, pergolas, gazebos, outdoor kitchens, fire features, water features. Basically, we want to create those great spaces for families to hang out in. Architect's actually a franchise, started in the early 80s in Richmond, Virginia. And my wife, Kristen, and I purchased our first franchise in 2004. And then over the last few years, we've purchased all the other Chicagoland territories. So we work throughout the suburbs. Unfortunately, we're not in the city yet.
Because you know why? I know why. I don't know why you wouldn't be, David, because the city's such an easy place to work. It's so easy to get permits, and you know it's so. And everybody loves working in Chicago because it's so easy.
Yes. Well. Yeah. I'm gonna be careful about my comments.
That's all right. I can make those comments because I spent years working in the city. I own businesses in the city, and I can tell you 100% that it's not. And they keep talking about how easy it is, and they need to get with it because, my goodness, it's like it's like pulling teeth with a pair of channel locks trying to get stuff done in Chicago. So that's just my little tirade there. But okay, now hold on a second. There's really nobody like Architect. Right?
I, of course, think that, yes.
No. But in other words, there are people that dabble in it. Like, you know, there's the guy that he'll put the windows and do the siding on your house. And, oh, sure, I can build you a deck. And, I mean, I'm sure he does a fine job. Or, you know, they're landscape contractors who do paving work, obviously a lot of them. But you guys are really focused on everything on the outside of the house.
Yeah, we're definitely unique in that we blend hardscape, you know, the pavers with decks and screen porches and carpentry work. And you know, a lot of other companies will say, oh, we can do both, but they're really just, you know, outsourcing the other piece to the project. And so that's mm-hmm. been our strength over the years is we come in and develop a design that incorporates both options or say to people, hey, you know, are you considering patio instead of deck? Or are you considering deck instead of patio? By the way, we have no bias. What fits your situation better?
Right, and, right.
And that is a real difference maker. And, of course, I would offer that the other reason we're different is we really focus hard on customer service.
Okay.
Very process-driven. If you knew me, I'm extremely anal. My staff loves that.
I bet.
We do, you know, we make sure we cross our T's and dot our I's to get the job done right. So.
All right, so take us through the process now. You know, somebody's thinking about you know, I mean, you know, this trend, obviously, with outdoor spaces, hardscaping, what they call it, you know, everybody's like, oh, it's big. You know, you hear all these people write articles about, oh, bring your, you know, your living space outdoors. That's really been going on forever. But it really starts with a good design, right? Take us through the process of somebody's thinking about doing this. How does it work with a company like yours?
Yeah, and that's really a great place to start is we use the motto, better building by design, and it's meant to reflect that, you know, the quality of the construction, but also that we have a plan of how to get there in the first place. So our process is based on four concepts. Number one, the space itself. What's there? What's the land like? What's the house like? What issues do we got to deal with? Those are kind of obvious. Number two, it's function, and it's really important to understand, what do you want to really do outside? You know, I go to home after home where they're like, I want a deck to go from that corner to that corner, and it's just this monster deck or patio or whatever, and then you say, well, what do you want to do? Well, I want a table and chairs for dinner, and I want a grill and maybe a seating area. So we could make that deck about half the size maybe. What do you think about that? Oh, well, so function's really important, and we that's the next piece for us. And then aesthetics, you know, what's the look and feel? Part of that conversation is maintenance, which is such a big issue outdoors today, anywhere today. And then finally, budget, you know, understanding what's the parameters. I can design a footprint for a deck that's $15,000 or $10,000, but I can take that same design and it can be $50,000, depending on materials and details. And, you know, there's no point in wasting everybody's time giving the $50,000 design to the $15,000 budget or vice versa.
Right.
We go through those questions and try to come up with designs based on those criteria.
And I think the other thing, too, is, you know, what's difficult, I'm sure, and in particular when it comes outdoors, it's always hard for people to visualize what this is all going to look like. And I'm sure you have many clients where they're like, oh, I just want this area over here, and you know, I want a table and chairs, whatever. But it sounds like, I mean, you and I don't know each other, but it sounds like you have all this experience to say, well, really, you know, if you want to do this, it's been our experience, you need to make this patio this big so that you're not, like, falling off of it when you're trying to entertain and whatnot. And that, to me, having that kind of experience when you're trying to design something like that is sort of the secret sauce for your clients.
Yeah, it is very helpful, and we certainly work hard to give those kind of parameters and suggestions. A few years ago, we took a step in our business and opened up. Now we have two design centers, and what's great about it is it's got a screen porch built that's 14 by 16, and we've got a patio, and we've got a little deck. So you can not only say, hey, here's what fits a table for six. When we're talking about it, we're usually sitting in that room and can say, all right, you see how the space matches the use. So it is really helpful, and you're right, a lot of people can't visualize that easily,
right.
So it's useful. We used to take a rope out to people's homes and lay it out in the yard with
oh sure,
we called it the magic rope to give them a feel for that space, you know.
Right. Now you said you have design centers where people can go and actually see stuff displayed.
We do. Now they're by appointment only. They're meant to be for design meetings. We're
right.
Always happy to have people just stop by. But it's not like it's a showroom with hundreds of samples sitting on the wall.
Right.
But absolutely. And one's in Naperville, and then our other one, which is where our offices are, is in Palatine.
Nice. All right, we'll talk a little bit about the contest, David, and what it is that people can, you know, if they were to win this thing, what you guys could create in their yard.
Yeah. So we're excited about this concept. First off, partnering with WGN, but then Belgard Pavers is such a great product to work with and a great company to work with is joining us in it. It's a circle patio in general. I mean, if somebody wants a different shape, we can certainly play with that, but it's basically a 14-foot diameter. And then a fire pit in the center is the plan. Now, I always, every time I talk to the contest people, I say, now, there's a lot of villages where fire pits are tricky.
Right.
They may not allow it because of setbacks. Some places it's up to 25 or 50 feet from any muscles, which is basically impossible in most backyards. If that's the case, we'll do a seat wall instead for somebody, and they'll still get the full package. It'll just come out in a little different format. But we're excited to work with it and a contest winner to get a new space in their backyard they can enjoy with their family.
That's awesome. And I know that information is up at WGNradio.com/contest, where you can learn all about that. And the contest ends the end of this month, so July 30th. And it should be a lot of fun. Now, something like that, I mean, I'm curious. So, I mean, in that concept, how long would it take you guys to build that out, like once you came up with the design and everything?
Well, there's two time frames I always talk about, and you know this well, I'm sure. Number one is going to be getting the permit. And
depending right. on the
community, right. that could be 2 weeks, that could be 6 weeks, you know.
Right.
In theory, it could be longer. I hope not. But once we get there to do a patio of this size, our patio crew is really fast. They hate when I brag about them on speed. But we'll probably be done with the patio in a matter of maybe 3-4 days.
That's awesome. That's great. David Berryhill is the owner of Arkadeck. They help you create all kinds of wonderful stuff on the outside of your home. If people want to get a hold of you guys and learn more about your company, how do they do so?
Well, I always say the website's a great place to start. We've got so many pictures of projects we've done here in Chicagoland. Architectofchicagoland.com. Or feel free to call the office, 847-496-4333. We'd love to talk to you.
That's right. David, thanks so much for getting up and talking with us about it. Good luck with the contest and good luck with the rest of the summer.
Thanks so much, Lou. Have a great day.
You too. 8:51 in the morning. You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. We'll be right back.
Let's get to know the house, huh? Okay, let's start with this baby right here. What are we looking at, huh?
Photosynthesis.
In a sense, yeah. Photosynthesis converts carbon dioxide into food for plants. This water heater converts cold water into hot.
Don't know much about how your house works? Don't worry, me neither. You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show with Lou Manfredini on 720 WGN.
Welcome back. By the way, next Saturday, we're going to be in Tinley Park for the Hometown Voices Tour, sponsored by Allstate at Parmesan's Restaurant and Depot. What's it called? Do we know, Lindsay? Do you have a write-up on the Hometown Voices thing?
Yes.
Do I have it?
You should.
Really?
Oh, maybe you don't.
No.
I do. Hold on.
All right. Why don't you tell people where we're going to be next week, if you have that in front of you?
I do, and I will tell you that we're going to fire up your backyard. Wait.
No. No. How about I talk to Marilyn and Winthrop? Oh.
I've got it.
Here we go.
Hey, Tinley Park marks the next stop on the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour presented by Allstate. Join him, Lou Manfredini, at Parmesan Station for a live broadcast of the Mr. Fix-It Show next Saturday, July 29th from 7 to 10 a.m. Get the answers you need to your home improvement questions and enjoy the three P's, pizza, pasta, and pastry.
I don't know what else you need in your life.
At our broadcast, too, with a special discount off your food order at Parmesan Station. Visit the events page at WGNRadio.com for details. The WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour is presented by Allstate, Chicago's own Good Hands.
Very nice. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's go back to the phone lines right now. Marilyn is in Winthrop Harbor. Marilyn, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I have a question about the fog you mold.
Yep.
After you use it, say, in a basement, do you have to wash all the surfaces down?
Do you have to wash... Me, are you going to use it as a fogger?
Yes.
Yeah. I'd wipe it down. Sure.
So all the walls, the floors. Everything
No. Just what do you have down there?
Wash machine, furnace, dryer.
No. I would just wipe down not the walls. The whole idea is that I want that mist to grab onto everything and then kill the mold and have residual value. You may notice that perhaps, a little residue on the washing machine. Just wipe that down with a damp rag.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
Anything, if there's anything else down there, like...
No, we want it. We want it to... Something. Yeah, correct. We want it to connect to that. That's the...
Okay.
That's what we want.
Okay. That's what I was just wondering, if afterwards you had to wipe everything down.
No. Good. It's good stuff. You'll see a huge difference.
Oh, thank you so much.
That's right, Chicago. We've all got our issues.
I've been getting this constant leak in my basement every time it rains.
And if yours are about the home, you're going to want to call Lou.
My toilet keeps spitting back up at me when flushing, and it's really gross.
That's Lou Manfredini, taking your calls live till 10 right here on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9:10 in the morning, Buttercup. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Rogers Roofing, by Ace Hardware, and Dykstra Home Services. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lou Manfredini here with you. That's also our text line. We'll do our Just Text Me segment after 9:30 this morning. So if you can't get through and you want to text us, I'll answer it and Lindsay will text you back. Right? Do you text them back?
I don't. Just listen.
Wait, so when you tap away, you're just pretending?
I am actually typing whatever products, because, you know, I send, like, a list of all the products that you mention each show to Ace or to, you know, maybe people here at the station. So I'm kind of just typing away to see what products you're taking down. I I can't text them back. I can.
What do you mean?
But
you
it's
can't?
Hard to like keep. They text you hoping that they get on to just text me, right? So I would think that they would listen.
Got it.
Right? Okay. What do you think? Should I text them back?
Well, I mean, if they're so they're texting, so your hope is that they text and then they're listening, like they're driving.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, I can't possibly text everybody back.
Got it.
Because you get a lot of texts.
Right.
Babe.
All right.
Babe.
Fine. Babe. Just making sure. Babe. She just calls me babe.
Babe.
Let's go back. How about we go to the people that actually called?
All right.
All right. How about Barbara in Barrington? Barbara, you're on WGN. Yes. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I have a very strange question for you, and if you can answer this, you'll be my best friend. We have some drain tile replaced last year from the house out onto the street with PVC pipe. Okay. And where they connected the PVC pipe down at the by the culvert and the one that comes across the yard, there's like an elbow that they connected those two pipes to go underneath to the culvert and out. This year, with all the rain, we developed a big hole, or not a big hole, a two-inch hole, right where the connection is. And water is bubbling up from the ground and pushing debris, all the dirt and the grass and everything right out. The guy came out, put the hose down the drain pipe, or down the drain tile, and it's flowing out into the street just like it's supposed to. He doesn't know where the water is coming from, but I think it has to be more than a coincidence that this bubbling water from the ground has to have something to do with the new drain tile. Does that make sense?
Okay, so you got drain tile and a sump pump.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes into this drain tile and it connects to some wine and eventually goes into a sewer line?
It goes into the culvert that goes out into the lake. We're on well and septic.
Okay, so it goes into a
sewer line.
Okay, so it goes into a culvert.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see this bubbling up, do you also see water going into the culvert?
Yes, the water's still flowing into the culvert.
Right.
But when it bubbles up, there's leaves from a tree in the backyard that we only have in the backyard on the side of the house. So I don't know if there's a problem on the other side of the yard that's clogging somewhere and all of a sudden just forcing the water out, but it doesn't. It only happens with a heavy rain, and you can actually see it bubbling up from the ground.
Right, and the bubbling up with the coming up from the ground is also coming like as the pump is running. So what that tells me is there's some clog beyond. Mm-hmm. There's some clog beyond that connection point, and as the pump is pumping, it's found some breach in the Y or something that's there, and that's why you're getting that backflow from the pump.
Oh, okay.
Right? So go ahead.
No, I was just wondering, would that have any connection with the pipe that runs along the street and hooks up to that pipe?
Absolutely.
But
ultimately, you've got those drain tiles coming into a Y point where you're saying you're seeing this, you know, kind of almost like a bubbler coming up out of the water or coming up out of the ground, right?
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
You got a pump on the backside that's pumping it going, come on, I got to get rid of this water. Let's go. And on the other side of that Y, something's clogged.
Okay.
So how deep is that? Do we know? Not that deep, right?
Well, I think it's about 8 inches or a foot when they dug it up. I could see where they were digging. And it's right at the junction point. So it's got to be something connected.
Right there.
That.
Correct. Yeah. So I would have them, when did we have this done?
Last summer.
Okay. And it was, I'd have them come back and pull that up, dig it, put a rod down there and clean it out.
Good. Okay. Well, that makes sense to me.
Hey, who's your best friend?
You.
I am.
Cardini,
I got a new best friend, Barbara from Barrington. Thank you, Barbara.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Bye-bye. 9:15 in the morning. Let's talk to Carol, who's in Glenview. Hi, Carol. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to talk to you. It's been
glad to talk
many
to you.
Years of listening and enjoying.
Oh, thank you.
I have a engineered bamboo floor that we laid approximately 2 years ago. It's on a slab. The underlayment was there. It was put down by ourselves, but it was done right. We left baseboards off because I was pulling after that the entire winter, layers of wallpaper and patching walls. So it was quite some time before I got new baseboards on. The first extreme heat and humidity, I had a big bubble in a narrower area, and it has pulled the two planks apart, maybe a quarter of an inch, an eighth of an inch, I don't know. My son seems to think it was after we put the baseboards down that we put the baseboards down too tight against the floor and it's not floating properly in that narrower area.
Okay.
I wanted your advice, and if you have any tricks, he figures we'll pull all that up and then just start sliding boards back because it's not attached to anything. It's a floating floor. Just wanted your advice on everything.
But you said that it's separated. It didn't buckle.
It did. That's what I meant. It bubbled up. It made
it
like a big air bubble.
Oh, yeah.
And then when it settled back down between two
then
planks,
it separated.
It's about 12 feet there, and it has a quarter of an inch gap now.
Right. All that makes sense. It's very important when you do any kind of floating floor like that the baseboard and or the shoe molding and the way you install the floor, that there's, you know, different manufacturers have different requirements as to, but it's a good 3/8 of an inch, if not a half of an inch, that you want of a gap between the floor and the wall. And then when you attach any kind of trim or shoe molding, that kind of goes over the top. And did you use any shoe or just trim?
Just a brand new baseboard, you know, a bigger one. And
that has to have like a little bit of a gap there so it can slide back and forth.
So that his opinion's probably right that we put too much pressure on it, and that's why the minute the heat and the humidity hit, it gapped.
Yeah, look at that smart kid you raised.
I tell you, these kids are saving my life. My husband, yourself, and now the kids have taken over. And
well, the problem is now it's a little
baseboards.
Yeah, it's a little bit extra work for you, but yeah, that sounds like the right approach.
Okay, is there any secret to sliding those back? Or obviously, we take the baseboard back off.
Correct.
We have probably now an 8-foot area that where the gap is where we finished. So
well, you know, I'm not certain about
sliding
the
those over.
No, I mean the thing is that some of these floors click together. Some you
this
have to pound.
Did.
Yeah, so the click, you're just going to set it and click, 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 and you I mean, really, if those boards are still in decent shape, you can reuse those boards.
Oh yeah, we're planning to just slide. They settled right back down.
Yeah,
and. You know, it's fine. It's just that I've got this gap now in the middle of the floor.
Unclick it, click it back in, put the base down, and it should be just fine.
And just keep sliding it in. Okay,
that's
kind of what we thought, but I wanted your opinion as the expert.
Thank you, Carol. Have a great day. Appreciate you calling.
Hi, this is Brandy from Kenosha, Wisconsin. I may be across the border, but I listen to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show every Saturday morning on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Well, she was an American girl, raised on promises.
Welcome back. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lou Manfredini here with you. Let's go back to the phone lines. Jamie Ann is in Mundelein. Hi, Jamie Ann. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
We have an integrated Corian sink in our vanities, and the overflow is not attached to the drain. So if you put too much water in, it just goes down into the vanity.
Wait, what?
Wondering.
Wait. You have a vanity with an overflow hole.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me about this sink.
It's just a regular integrated sink, Corian sink, but the tube that should be attached to the hole is not attached.
Like it's not there?
No, the tube is there. It just isn't attached. We have three sinks, and none of the three of them are attached.
Well, that's wrong.
That's what we thought.
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to picture this. If it's a Corian sink, that should all be integrated. And when you put the pop-up, when you look at the bottom of that sink, you don't see a tube. You should just see like a little bump out.
Oh, no, it's a tube. The what I would call the collar where the drain attaches to the sink, it has a flexible, hard semi-flexible tube, like a 1-inch
tube. That's just sitting there.
That curves up around the side of the sink up to where it should attach.
Mm-hmm.
It's got... it looks like, well, it's got a...
when did you put these sinks in?
We purchased the home this way. It was built in 2007. It's a Del Webb home.
That tube, if they're Corian integrated sinks, should be all part of the sink. I think you have three mismanufactured sinks. In other words,
okay.
the way an overflow on a sink works.
Right. I've seen that. Yeah.
Right. When you put the pop up in there, the whole drain assembly, it's integrated into the body of the sink, and so that when it drains, it actually goes through the pop up. There's like a piece missing on that sink.
Yes.
On all three.
Correct. And it's got like a fake goop of some sort of adhesive to try and attach it, and it has a zip tie holding the 45-degree angle that hope would. Yeah, so it's a Rube Goldberg of some sort, and where do we go from here?
You're not going to like this answer. There's no way to make this work properly. You need three new sinks.
Okay.
Could we come up with some caulking sort of nightmare to try and make it work? No. You'd have to drill into the pop-up to somehow make this work.
This is the circle at the top of the sink.
Correct.
Where the overflow goes.
But then that is supposed to drain into the drain.
Correct, and it does.
But it leaks.
But it's not attached at the drain hole at the top. It's not attached to the sink. It does drain. It does go into the drain.
Okay. All right. So I'm following you. Okay. So it is connected down at the drain level. It's
correct.
Up at the top that it's not connected.
Correct. I apologize.
Can you even see that?
Uh-huh.
You can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How can you see that? The cabinet opens up right there?
Well, yeah, it's got three doors, so the center door
pops off.
I could take off the cabinet
panel.
Face.
Okay, all right. So the thing is, what you need to do there is, let's see, how are we going to glue this? So you can actually peel it back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And can you peel it back enough that you could clean it up?
Yes.
All right. So then what I want you to do is I want you to clean it all up, and there is a clear caulking adhesive that you're going to get at the hardware store called Lexol.
Okay.
All right. And you can buy it in a squeeze tube that looks like you're decorating a cake.
Okay.
And I want you to peel that back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, I want you to figure out a way that once you put this adhesive around that little ring to push it back into place, I need to somehow create a way to put a little pressure on it while it dries.
Okay. Duct tape?
Here's what I want. If you can take away the cabinet face,
mm-hmm.
if you could clamp a little piece of wood to the cabinet face with a couple little clamps, that then you could wedge something between that piece of wood and the little ring to push it against there.
Okay.
You with me on that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're going to take this Lexol around the overflow. Once it's cleaned up, push it against there, wedge that in there, and let that dry overnight.
Okay.
Not going to leak anymore.
Cool.
Once you push it on, you may see a little bit squirt into the overflow hole.
Mm-hmm.
So take a little like paper towel and twist it and then kind of spin it around the hole just to clean that up.
Gotcha.
So that it's nice, wide open hole, let it dry, and then it should work.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thanks for calling.
Have a good day.
Time for Just Text Me on
the Mr. Fix-It Show.
That's right, 720 WGN.
Text me, maybe.
Still cracks me up. Time for Just Text Me. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Mr. Fix-It Show. We get lots of text messages that Lindsay looks through. Hi.
Hi.
Are you ready?
I am. Let's see. Da-da. The humidity in my house is 85%. My air is set at 75. How do I get rid of this humidity?
Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, your AC's not working right because it should be dehumidifying as well. Couple things to look at. The furnace filter first. Make sure that that is clean. Also, go outside to the condensing unit and make sure that those fins on the outside unit, you take a hose and spray that down, because the whole idea is that we're supposed to be reducing humidity as you also cool the home. And make sure that if you have a whole house humidifier, that's off. If all of that looks good and it still has that high humidity level, then you need to get a HVAC contractor, come out and take a look. Something might be wrong with the system.
All right. Lou, who would I call to replace the exhaust vent on the roof? We have a water coming in the bathroom from the light exhaust fixture when the rain is blowing a certain direction.
Exhaust fan on the roof. An exhaust fan on the roof would be something that you would contact a roofing contractor to do, where they could come in and pop out that the old fan if it doesn't work, and make sure that it's properly installed and flashed properly to the roof. Most of them will do some light electrical work, meaning connecting that fan. But if not, then you need an electrician to actually do the electrical connection.
Hmm. Lou, I have little black bugs in my shower. Ew! Checking online, it looks like they're springtails. What is the best way to get rid of them? Thank you so much.
They could be springtails or they could be drain flies. Mm-hmm. And so more than likely, they're living on the side wall of the drain in your shower, which is gross, but you can fix it. Pop the cover off of the, if it's a shower drain, take the cover off of the drain, which typically is either screwed down or you get a little putty knife and pop the thing off. Take a toilet brush and a little pine saw while you have the brush in there. Pour a little of pine saw and scrub the walls of the drain. It's kind of full of gunk from the shampoo and the soap and whatever, and they live on the side walls just above the trap. Mm. If you scrub all that nice and clean, you should eliminate the problem. This also helps eliminate if you have odors or you have a smelly drain. It does that as well.
What is a good sump pump and battery backup?
Okay, so probably the best name in primary sump pumps is Zoeller. It's a cast iron pump, very durable, works really well. If you're talking about a backup system that you want to install yourself, the Basement Watchdog is probably the biggest brand that you'll find out there, and they make a really nice line of backups as well. Wayne is another company that makes a good backup if you're going to do that yourself as well. And if you want to have someone do it, then you call the folks PermaSeal, and they will put in their system, which is, you know, very efficient, works really well. The trick with any kind of backup is you have to make sure that the backup pump moves the same amount of water that your primary pump moves, so that when it does fail, you can make sure that the same amount of water is getting evacuated out of the house when you need it the most.
Okay. Can I just say that I love putting together my rejoins, you know?
Yeah.
And I love it when we get texts where people are like, I love that song. What is that
nice
song that you just played? I feel like we've got so many of them.
The one?
Well, the thing is when I go back and look, I don't remember what we played. So I have to start to take note.
Yes. Congratulations.
Well,
that's what we try and do, right? We always have constantly, the both of us are, you know, you create a bunch of them.
Right.
And, well, you create them all. But a lot of times I'll be driving around and I hear a song and I'll stop and text you and go, we need this song.
Yes, I know. It's so fun.
Yeah.
How bad is it if a toilet rocks a bit side to side? No leaks. Do I need to replace the seal or stick a shim in there?
Oh, look at that. Did you add the shim thing or did she or he?
I did. Do we need to stick a shim? No, I didn't.
Yeah, no. you know, the thing is, when it rocks back and forth too much, the problem is it can eventually lead to a leak. And so you want to make sure that it's nice and snug. You don't want to over-tighten the Johnny bolts. That's what holds the toilet in place. If it's rocking a little bit, you can buy at the hardware store these little plastic shims that are designed for toilets. Once you kind of get it where it's at, and the best way to do this really is to sit on it and then place the shims so that it feels nice and solid. Then once the shims are in place, you take a utility knife in the kind of curvature of the toilet and you cut the shim. So then when you cut it, so you don't even see it, it's nice and fits flush with the toilet. You can, if you want, to hold the shim in place, take a little clear caulking and just kind of right in that spot, just caulk just that area to hold the shim in place so it doesn't move. And that way it will eliminate the...
rocking?
The rocking, but also the potential for it to leak.
Got it. That's this week's Just Text Me.
All right. 9:45 in the morning, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. Time now for Lou's Last Call. Lou's Last Call, sponsored by Townstone Financial. Thanks so much for listening. Our last caller is Ajit. Ajit, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Lou.
How can I help you, sir?
Yeah, I have last night I noticed that one of the vent pipe that goes from the bathroom to the roof, it just started getting a little bit of water. So what can I do? I climbed in the attic and noticed that there was some trace of water.
So this is the pipe that goes from where?
From the bathroom up to the roof.
Okay. And at the connection point where you see it going up to the roof and vent... Is this a vent, a plumbing vent, or is it a fan vent?
A fan vent.
Fan vent. And so right at that connection point at the roof, you see where it's leaking?
Yes.
All right. Well, I mean, the only way to permanently fix that is you've got to get up on the roof and see if the flashing or if you've lost a piece of shingle or whatnot. How high up on the roof is it?
I haven't climbed on the roof, so I...
You just look from the attic. But, I mean, if you're at the attic and you're looking at this fan, how close is it to the edge, to the outside wall of the home?
About 5 feet.
Okay. And is it a steep roof?
Yes.
All right. Well, I mean, the only way to fix this properly, Ajit, is that you're going to have to, you or a roofing contractor is going to have to go up on the onto the roof and make sure that the... make sure that the flashing all around that looks good. If it does, they can probably fix it. I was talking earlier with a listener about a product called fibrated roof tar, which is a very sticky roofing tar that you can buy in a gallon jug that's difficult to work with, but you literally can put it on in the rain and seal up around there. But the fix has to occur from the outside, not the inside. And in doing so, then you can get that leak to go away. But again, I don't necessarily want you up on that roof if you're not comfortable up there. It's probably something you want a roofing contractor to do. Thank you so much for the phone call. Thank you, Lindsay, for producing, and Bob for pushing the buttons, and Domati and Sam for being part of the show, and all of you listeners for listening every Saturday morning. And John Williams is in studio.
Hi,
good
Mr. Fitzgerald. How are you?
How you doing?
You know, that guy that called in and he had water coming up through the floor in his basement?
Yes.
Groundwater, you were describing it as, and you were giving him tips about just, you know, what to do. And
don't tell me you have that in your new home you just worked in.
It's weird because we're on the second floor. It's that bad.
don't say that.
We're 8 steps up, so I really feel bad for the garden level. No, but I was wondering, you didn't tell him to, like, caulk. Like, get some water, caulk, or seal, and find it, and, you know.
Because it's not going to work.
Yeah, well, I was just wondering if you would address that briefly.
Well, I mean, that gentleman called with a clear sign of what groundwater is, because it was coming up between the slab and the wall.
Yeah, but I mean, find where it's coming in.
What's coming in all over.
If that guy's listening, give me a call. Here's what you do.
Yeah.
You get a lot of caulk.
Right. And you just keep caulking and it doesn't work. The pressure, there's nothing that'll seal it like that.
Yeah.
You have to, at that point, see, this is the hardest part for people to understand.
Did you
say
hardest fart?
I did.
Okay. Just want to make sure I didn't miss
it. I had beans last night. But
anyway.
The pressure that comes in there, you need to manage the water. You don't need to try and keep it out.
I want to do. I want to fight that fight. I want to get like that water cement, that cement that'll dry when it's wet, and you just want to start going at it.
I'm going to give you a little thing that kind of goes with modern day. You haven't seen the movie Dunkirk, have you?
I'm seeing it tonight in 70 millimeter.
All right. Well, there's a scene where they try to seal something out. And you just can't do it. And quick, you'll know,
Captain, get Mr. Fix-It on the phone.
You'll know the part when I say it, and and when they're doing it, you're going to go, no, don't do that. Don't do that. The same applies to your basement.
So there's a scene where you could have been inserted where I'm going to go, no, I would build a temporary berm and run the water off to the
don't
side.
Don't seal that leak.
Don't seal that leak, Jack.
I did give the advice this morning, John, and I give this advice to anybody going to see this movie, which I really enjoyed. You need to do a little homework and read about this Dunkirk.
Right.
Before you go to the movie.
Cash, my producer, and I actually clicked around this morning to do that very thing. And I'm going to share some notes about it. I'm not giving away anything in the movie.
No. But I think it's important.
By the way, we won. But
No. We did.
Spoiler
alert. It's important to know what happened leading up to this.
Yeah. Well, okay, for instance, why were those 300,000, 400,000 soldiers on that beach pinned there? Why did they drop them off if they didn't have a plan?
Well, and that's why...
Okay, we'll do our homework. We'll do our research.
Yeah, do your homework before you go to the movie.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Fix-It.
Love you, John.
That's America's Lou Manfredini.